The third word is faith. Basically, in Christianity, faith is something in the form of a pledge. To put faith in something is to promise that this is what I will believe, this is what I will stick to, this is my faith. And in return, God then promises to take care of you. If you promise to stick to a course, then he will promise to help you. In Islam, the word usually translated faith from the Arabic is iman. Now the root of the word iman, amana, really means confirmed. So that to the Muslim, his iman is really a list of things that he checked on and convinced himself about. And that is his faith. Right from the beginning of saying la ilaha illallah, there is no God but the one God, write down all the list of what follows in Islam. These are all things that a good Muslim has checked on, made sure of. Could it be any other way? And he has confirmed this list. Faith in Christianity very often then takes the form of being a personal experience. That is to say, you may argue long and loud with the Christian about what he believes, but the conclusion of it can only be that you can say to the Christian, I am convinced that you are convinced. Because he may well be convinced in his heart, but personal experience, the Lord touches me in my heart sort of thing, is of no value to anyone else. It is of no benefit to you if someone tells you that he knows God because he came inside you. It's no value to you unless he comes inside you. This is what I'm getting at. This has been pointed out many times, and the argument takes a circular form to where the Christian reply to that is, it's not just a matter of Jesus is in my heart, but Jesus in the heart of one of his disciples. We read in the Bible that Thomas said, my Lord and my God, to Jesus. So it must have been in his heart. Well, the problem is, forgetting my original objection is, your personal experience is of no value to me. So it is of even less value to me if you tell me that there is one report that a certain man named Thomas 2,000 years ago said that he believed in Jesus. And I'm only talking about a certain group of Christians, but the position of being born again, that somehow God comes inside a human being, will only convince those who are already convinced. I have asked on many occasions those who say they are born again to ask them, who does that mean is your father, your spiritual father, if you are born again? And the answer, of course, is they don't. And I ask them, how do you know that God is your spiritual father? And they say, because he has come into my heart and informed me of that. So then I have asked them, and who is your spiritual mother, if God is your spiritual father? To which the reaction is usually to tell me I'm being foolish, I'm being ridiculous, I'm trying to make a joke. After which I calmly try to point out that in the Bible, the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 26, it talks about the spiritual mother of all Christians. And when they have a look at that passage of Scripture, no problem, they can say, oh yes, well, of course, it's the Jerusalem above. But then my question is, why didn't you know that before I showed you? If God came in your heart and told you he's his father, why did he forget to tell you who your mother is? And I'm not trying to be clever. I'm just trying to show you that the personal experience, again, is of no value to anyone but the person happens to